2-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Strikeout for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And it's time once again for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Thanks for being here once again. A lot to get to in this one. We'll talk about the game last night briefly. That was a rough one as the M's go down big to the Detroit Tigers. Some interesting aspects. Asashi Iwakuma making his return. We'll hear from him on how he thought his start went. Wow. No Miguel Cabrera, no problem, at least on one night. And we'll get the inside look at the Tigers. Dan Dickerson has some pretty interesting things to say about Detroit and their offense right now, something that that may surprise you, at least as of late, even without Miguel Cabrera. So that comes up. Mike Blowers and Eric Goldsmith have a very interesting conversation about one particular at bat that happened over the weekend in a Cleveland game. If you have not seen it, I encourage you to look it up because it's hilarious. And they're going to talk about that. Also, Shannon Dreher, a chance to catch up with Brad Miller. That comes up in just a few minutes as well. And also, congratulations in order as Felix Hernandez has been named to the American League All-Star team once again. We'll have more on this as we move through the week. I have an All-Star feature that I'm putting together. But you know, I talked about it a little bit yesterday that it was going to be close because there's been a lot of good years in the American League in terms of not only bullpen, I mean, a ton of good years coming from bullpens this year, but also starters. There's been a lot of good seasons. I thought Felix deserved it. And he got it. So Felix Hernandez on the All-Star team. This is quite a staff, though, when you look at it. Chris Archer makes it from the Rays, well-deserving. Dylan Betances from the Yankees, who has had a ridiculous season. So many strikeouts. Brad Boxberger from the Rays, he's had a great year. Zach Britton, quietly, may have the best statistical year for a closer this season for Baltimore. He's been outstanding. Wade Davis for the Royals. I was thinking that maybe he wouldn't make it because of how many other Royals were going to make the All-Star team. I thought maybe he'd get pushed out, but he is certainly deserving. He's had an amazing year. Sonny Gray from the A's, well-deserving. Kelvin Herrera, another Royal. Felix, of course. Dallas Keuchel from the Astros. And Darren O'Day from Baltimore as well, middle relief. And then a few lefties, Glenn Perkins, a closer from the Twins. He's been great. And then, of course, David Price from the Tigers and Chris Sale from the White Sox. And now the question becomes, who's going to be the starter for the American League? Maybe it will be Felix for the second year in a row. Dallas Keuchel deserves it with the year he's had. Sonny Gray, Chris Sale, David Price, all deserving as well. It's going to be interesting to see who gets the final call in terms of the starter for the American League. And part of it will depend on where the guys fall in terms of their last start before the All-Star break. So that's something we'll watch very closely in the coming games. In terms of the reserves, Russell Martin, Stephen Vogt, both the catchers. Albert Pujols is in, and he's actually going to start the game in place of Miguel Cabrera. Mark Teixeira makes a return to the All-Star game for the Yankees. Jason Kipnis, he's been the best second baseman in the American League. He gets the call as a reserve for Cleveland. Manny Machado has had a fantastic year. Jose Iglesias, he would have been my pick to start. The Detroit Tigers shortstop, he gets in. Brock Holt from the Red Sox. You have Jose Bautista, Blue Jays. Adam Jones, Baltimore. J.D. Martinez, who we'll talk about just a second with the Tigers. And Prince Fielder for the Rangers. The final vote candidates, you have Bogarts from the Red Sox, Cespedes Tigers, Dozier's Twins, Gardner Yankees, and Moustakas Royals. Dozier gets my vote. I think he deserved to be in the All-Star game. In fact, after Kipnis, I think he's been the second-best second baseman in the American League so far this season. So There's your American League All-Stars. And again, we'll have more on kind of the history of Mariners All-Stars and All-Star feature coming up in the next couple of days as well. So that conversation will continue. But last night, an interesting night with Hisashi Iwakuma on the mound, making his return and giving up the long ball early in the ball game. But the Mariners, they fight back. Logan Morrison drills a big home run in the fifth, and things look good.
3-2, swing and a high fly ball deep right center field. Back to the warning track, goes to the wall, leaps up, goodbye baseball! Holy smokes, Logan Morrison with a three-run home run here in the bottom of the fifth inning. And the Mariners have taken a 5-3 lead over the Tigers. Logan Morrison with his 11th home run of the season.
Yeah, but the lead would be short-lived.
Iwakuma looks in, rocks and fires home. Swing of this is clubbed down a line to left center field. Trouble, it's got a lot of carry to it, and it's gone. Four home runs tonight by the Tigers. They have all been solo shots. That's a career high in homers allowed by Hisashi Iwakuma. And the Tigers are now within a run. It's 5-4 Mariners.
Yeah, so Iwakuma gets chased. He goes five, gives up five runs on eight hits, four home runs, including back-to-back jobs by the Martinez. Victor, his third, just coming back. JD, his 24th of the season. And then the Mariners turn to the pen where a couple of rookies get lit up. Guaype gives up three. Rollins gives up four. And that was the ball game. A couple of big innings in a row, five in the sixth, four in the seventh for the Tigers. 12-5, Detroit wins. They pound out 19 hits along the way. So the Mariners, they take a lead into the sixth inning. They can't hold it, and the Tigers get the victory. And I was thinking about it just in terms of the Mariners last year compared to this year with the bullpen right now. The bullpen was spectacular last year, and part of it was the depth was so incredible. But with guys like Farquhar, well, Helmsen struggling this year, both find themselves in AAA right now. You just don't have that depth that you can rely on, the veteran depth that you can rely on a night-in, night-out basis. Those two guys were lights out last year. I mean, think about Farquhar, think about Will Helmsen last year. But this year in AAA, you go to a couple of rookies in that situation. Mark Lowe pitched a lot yesterday, and they cough up the lead, and that was the ballgame. So the Mariners fall to Detroit in game one of the series. Acting skipper Trent Jewett, this is what he had to say after the ballgame.
What did you see from Kuma tonight?
Really threw strikes, and he was healthy. I mean, those are important factors. I don't think he commanded the ball probably the way he prefers, but he came out of it healthy. He faced a real good order, and he didn't beat himself with bases on balls, but it was a performance that, like I said, I think if he had his preferences, he would just command it within the strike zone a little better.
Was he laboring at all with that?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, his pitch count was down. He seemed to have energy. You know, he feels his position real well. I mean, he was into it, but I don't think there was any laboring.
Hey, Trent, in the sixth inning, game's on the line, you go to two rookie relievers, you guys have been up here less than a week. Why were they the best options?
They were the best option based on the way our bullpen set up over the last few days. You know, Lowe had the high leverage outing yesterday, multiple innings, and to try to get through that six was vital. I thought, Guaype with the sinker, we saw him some in the spring, and we saw him the one time before. You know, I thought that was an opportunity to get a double play ball. Unfortunately, he fell behind in the count. You don't necessarily have the weapons at your disposal because of the usage in the recent past. So is it optimal? No. But hopefully it's a learning experience for those young guys, and they can benefit from it.
What do you hope to learn from that?
And the start for Iwakuma goes five again, gives up five runs on 68 pitches. Here's what he had to say.
Well, obviously, giving up four home runs is not good. But, bottom line, I'm healthy. So that's a good sign. And I was able to, make good pitches in certain situations. So, you look at the good sides, there were some good sides. So I'm happy about that.
looked like on the homers, you left him in the middle of the plate. Is that
少しホームランを打たれた4本は高めの球もあったと思うんですけども、うん、という正解だったんでしょうか。
そうですね、まあ、ちょっとスライダー2本打たれたのちょっと高かったなと思いますけども、あと他のスプリット2本は、まあ、低めには行ってたので、まあ、仕方ない事故みたいなもんかな。
はい、Two of the sliders that I left up in the zone were home runs. The other two were splits, and those splits were down in the zone, and they put a good swing on it. So that was tip of cap.
But no fatigue or anything other than that?
You can't throw everything
good?
No.
Off speed is usually the toughest thing to come back. Do you feel like that's still working on the off speed?
スライダー変化球っていうのはなかなかやっぱりその調整していく中で、戻ってくる中で一番やっぱ最後にそのキレっていうのは戻るような感じはするんですけど、その辺はいかがでしょうか。
そうですね、まあまあ、ここを修正ポイントにしっかり課題に上げて、やっていかなきゃいけないなというふうに思います、
はい、I think you're right. You know, it's hard to get that sharpness back. But you know, as you go through the process, I mean, it'll come back and you know, just have to locate.
Were either of those splitters, were you trying to put them in the dirt or were they where you wanted them?
スプリットを打たれてしまったスプリットはまんまさせようとしたんですが、それでも思うところに投げたんでしょうか。
思うところに投げた感じだったので、まあ、打ったバッターすごく、
はい、I think I was able to locate where I wanted to. You know, obviously some pitches I wanted to bounce, but you just have to tip your cap. They put a good swing on me.
That's a very important pitch for you. Overall, where would you say that is right now?
Split っていう球は非常にこの中ではプライオリティの高い球なんですけど、今出来としてはどのようなんでしょうか。
悪くはないと思います。まあしっかりこう低めに投げるようになってきましたし、
はい、
まああとはそれで空振りをしっかり取れるようになってくれる。
Well, it's actually there. I mean, it's, you know, I just had to locate better, and it's starting to dive a lot better than the last previous rehab start. So, I mean, it'll get better.
And it was interesting to listen to Dan Dickerson before the ball game talk to Aaron Goldsmith about the state of the Tigers, of course, without Miguel Cabrera. But some of the things he said really turned out to be very true in this game in particular. So here's Aaron Goldsmith with Dan Dickerson.
Well, Dan, welcome to town. Mariners seeing the Tigers for the first time this year, and there's no doubt the biggest news in Detroit right now is the absence of Miguel Cabrera for up to 6 weeks, the most severe calf injury. That was devastating news for the Tigers. Is there any kind of replacement plan whatsoever for the best right-handed bat of a generation?
Let's see. You lost a guy who's leading the league in batting average on base and slugging. That's a little bit to replace. I think this offense can be good enough. It's not going to be at that same level, obviously, but Victor Martinez has just come back, and he ignited the offense, and it's been averaging 6 runs a game since he's been back. J.D. Martinez has been on fire. I mean, he's going to cool off, but I think there's enough in there. The bottom part of the order right now is definitely looking a little bit weaker without Miguel. He lengthens that lineup, so you're going to look to guys like Castellanos. He can hit with more power. Avila is just back. He's not going to hit for average, but he can provide a little bit of extra base power. You can't ask guys to do more, but those guys, I think, are the two you look at and say they can do more than what we've seen. The offense is going to suffer for it, but I think it can still be good enough. I still look at the pitching side of the equation as to how this team handles what could be, you know, 2 full months of no Miguel Cabrera.
It's odd that we are nearing the All-Star break, and you take a look at the Central standings, and the Tigers are in the middle of the pack. We're not used to seeing that in recent years. What has been the issues for the Tigers that has led to that record?
It's been a strange combination because, you know, when Victor Martinez was out, the offense was wildly inconsistent. I mean, at one point we were halfway into the season. The Tigers had half their games where they'd scored 2 runs or fewer. It's just one of those. You looked at it and said, how can that possibly be? It's been better since then, but they just weren't. No consistency to the offense, and again, then Victor came back. But I really look at the pitching side of the equation. I really do. I mean, the starting pitching has been inconsistent. You didn't have Justin Verlander for 2 months. Simon was great. He struggled only recently, but he really was a valuable starter through 12 starts. Shane Green started hot, went to the minor leagues. Sanchez got off to an awful start. So you get to the midway point, and this team's on track to give up almost 740 runs. That's a big number when the league average is closer to 680. So, I mean, that to me is what I look at. And if this team is going to make a run in the second half, and they certainly have a track record of it the last 4 years while they've been winning division titles, I think it has to start on the run prevention side. And that starts with the pitching because the defense has been terrific.
You mentioned the defense. Jose Iglesias out all last year. Severe shin splints. I suppose that's what they were called?
Stress fractures.
Both legs.
And missed all of last year, and now he's back. He is an all-star this year. What has it been like to watch Iglesias every day?
This guy's, he's something else. I mean, you hear the word, you know, magician used a lot. I think maybe overused, but it's like you can't, I mean, truly there are times when the ball's in his glove and you're like, why isn't that ball on the ground in the outfield? To be running with his back to home plate and he's trying to avoid a collision with Cespedes and he'll just flip the glove up and all of a sudden he's making a catch. It's like, how can he possibly even see that ball? But it's everything, Aaron. It's everything from he makes the routine play, which a lot of guys who make the highlight reel play sometimes botch the routine. He doesn't botch the routine. He makes a play that looks easy, but it actually, like yesterday, deep in the hole, quick flip under his left armpit to second base to get a force. He made it look so easy. That's not an easy play, but then he ranges into the outfield, and he makes plays all over the field. We joke when the Tigers overshift on a lefty and he's the lone infielder on the left side, he's happy. he gets to cover all that, and that's his happy zone when he's like that. But he's just a joy. He plays the game with a little bit of a flair, but, I mean, you love it because that's him. He brings a joy to the game every day that is rare. And the talent, God, you figure he's missed a whole year and he's playing at this level. There's probably still some upside, but it's hard to believe it could be much better.
Dan, it's great to see you. Good to catch up with you a little bit. Welcome to Seattle.
Aaron, always good to be here. Thanks.
Now, one of the bright spots in the ballgame, Brad Miller continues to sizzle. Two more hits for Brad, 2 for 4. He drives in a run. He visited with Shannon Dreyer over the weekend.
Brad, we've seen a lot of work going in on the hitting, and we talked about this the other day, that things change. You get a new hitting coach, different boys, sometimes different methods. What are the things that you're paying attention to now? Has there been any change for you?
You know, still, obviously, you got to put in the work, and the big thing is, you know, just hearing, obviously, what Edgar has to say and his perspective is pretty cool. So, you know, just trying to get in his ear as much as I can and just have some conversations. And, you know, mostly they're pretty general, but, you know, I think you pick and choose and then get little tidbits that you can use and help yourself.
Is there anything specific you wanted to ask him?
Everything. You know, I really like, you know, how he talks about his mindset in the box and preparing, and it's all pretty cool because, you know, obviously, you know, what he did was working, so you want to kind of be a sponge around those guys.
You know what? We've seen what you do in the cage, and we see the work that you do out on the field. I don't think I've ever asked you this guy, but the mental side of it. Have you paid any extraordinary attention to that? Have you read any of the books? Is there anything that you've subscribed to? Have you done any of that?
I mean, I think hitting is all about your mentality. You know, I've said that over and over. You know, it's kind of what I mean when I'm like, all right, you know, I want to be aggressive in the box. You know, that has to do all with your mentality. You know, you can have the best swing, you know, but if you go up there and you aren't ready, then, you know, you're not going to be able to do anything. So I think having the right mindset's huge, you know, to get you through some times, maybe when balls aren't falling or when, you know, you always just got to think positive and think you're feeling good.
You seem to be a guy that can stay aggressive, though. Even when you're not going good, you're still being aggressive about seeing.
I don't know about that. Okay. I think last night's at-bat was a pretty good example. You know, first pitch, fastball right down the middle. You know, you take it. So I think, yes, you know, maybe later in the bat, but still, you know, at the end of the day, if you're not ready from pitch one, then, you know, maybe you're going to have to expand, or it's much harder on yourself. You put yourself in a hole, you know, because you got to lay off some tough pitches. But, you know, I think when they give you one, even if it's the first pitch, you got to get after it.
So what'd you take from last night? Because you're not in that position often when you have to go out and pinch hit. So
I mean, it's the same. It's the same as anything. I think you're not physically in the game, but I think you have to be. And then when you go in there, you know, that's your one chance to help out the team. So I think you got to be ready from the get-go. And, you know, you learn from that, and you're like, okay, you know, definitely. I'm not going to let any, you know, at-bats for granted or anything like that. I'm going up there hacking.
You didn't have a chance to get to this yesterday, but there was tough news in that Willie was let go. I know that you work with him every day. You're out there. You guys are out there at shortstop. You're out there taking infield together. What has he meant to you?
Yeah, he's been huge, you know, obviously getting to play with him for the last year and a half. And, you know, just a guy that genuinely cares about his teammates, you know, and cares about, you know, players and obviously, you know, just another guy you got to be a sponge around. You know, he's done things the right way. There's a couple guys that come along, you know, and two guys I've gotten to play with now, him and Raul Ibanez, you know, that they play so long because of their skills and because of how, you know, how they are as teammates and what they can bring to the clubhouse off the field. So, yeah, you know, it's definitely, you know, tough to see him, but, you know, I know he's still got that fire, and And, you know, he's still got some left in the tank. So I hope nothing but the best for him.
No doubt he's got the fire. And yeah. I would not be surprised if he pops up again. Chris Taylor's up now. So what is it like working with him? I mean, you've had him all along the way.
Yeah. It's always good, you know, to have somebody that, you know, you trust and you know, enjoy playing with. So, yeah, you know, we're just working. You know, we're both pretty driven, you know, and definitely committed, and you know, getting good work in with Woody is awesome, and you know, just laying it out there. You know, I think we have very similar styles and like to go about our business the same way, so it helps.
I don't think I've ever asked you this, but what is your favorite part of the baseball day?
Oh wow, I think it's the game. You know, obviously it's a lot of fun just to show up at the ballpark at 1 o'clock and you know, get your work in and get to see all these different places. But I think at the end of the day, it's the game. You know, that's the part where it's kind of like a dream. You're like, all right, we're getting to play a big league baseball game. And so it's probably that.
Brad, thank you.
Awesome.
And finally, a very funny conversation, Aaron Goldsmith, Mike Blowers. If you missed this over the weekend, you have to look it up. Trevor Bauer, well, they'll talk about it. But Trevor Bauer, a really funny at bat for Cleveland. Here they are.
I'm excited to talk to you about something that was really entertaining that Major League Baseball had a fun time putting on MLB.com a few days ago. Interleague play, the Indians in Pittsburgh play the Pirates. So Trevor Bauer, their starting pitcher of the Tribe, that is getting a chance to swing the bat a little bit. And, boy, did he ever make the most of it. He imitated three different batting stances of his own teammates during the at-bat. And when you think about it, the Indians have some pretty unique stances. He did the Avilas, which is the helicopter rotor with the bat high above his helmet. Then he did the Jason Kipnis, which is the pretty upright with the bat essentially parallel with the ground. And then the Ryan Rayburn, where you make your elbows bang against each other time and time again. And in between pitches, he would go to, they'd mix it up. He'd go from one to the other. How much were you laughing when you saw that?
I found it to be really entertaining, and I think that I liked about it is it's a situation where he wasn't asked to bunt. So, you know, if that's the situation, you have to help yourself out. But he was just having fun with the at-bat. I mean, the American League pitchers, they rarely get to hit. So, you know, don't take yourself too seriously and go out there and have a good time with it. But it made me think back to when I was a kid, because as a kid I used to do that all the time. Had my favorite players. I had Joe Morgan, you know, the little chicken wing flap thing going on. Willie Stargell, you mentioned Pittsburgh, Willie Stargell, with the way that he used to get in there and just, you know, pinwheel that bat around was one of my favorites to do. One of my favorites all time to watch was Mickey Tettleton, because he would stand just straight up, feet barely apart, as straight as you can, as you were mentioning with Kipnis, and lay that bat open. He looked like he was playing in a softball game. But, you know, and then, of course, you have to throw Cal Ripken Jr. in there just because he could change from at bat to at bat. He'd be probably one of the toughest ones to try to emulate, because you wouldn't know which way to go with him.
Right.
He had so many different stances and styles to his game.
Can you even begin to explain how somebody like Ripken could do that or would do that?
Yeah, you know, I think it's just the way that you feel. And hitters are constantly trying to do things. Now, at this level, most of the time, they're minor adjustments. And so, even myself, I watch these guys every day. They may do a little adjustment with their hands or maybe where their feet are at. And it's so minor that I can't even pick it up. But it feels different to them, and it feels like it's a big adjustment. For somebody like Cal, I don't know how he did it, because he would go straight up and down. He would get into a crouch. He would do all kinds of different things. And it's mostly just a feel. And, you know, a lot of that stuff you do when you're going through the minor leagues. My batting stance changed every year in the minor leagues, just trying to figure out how I'm going to compete at this level to get to the next one. But to do it at the major league level like Cal did, or like Bauer did, is difficult. He was pretty good at bat, too, by the way.
And I was wondering, when I was watching the clip of that with Bauer, that is, his manager, Terry Francona, probably as good-humored of a guy as there is in terms of a big-league skipper. But I did wonder how he would have perceived that, or how that was perceived. Obviously, they showed shots of Avilas in the dugout, and he was laughing, and Kipnis, too. But it is a major league ball game. As you said, it wasn't a sack bunt situation. So he was up there with an actual at-bat, and he was, well,
I think Francona would have been thrilled with it. It was nine pitches that he was able to take out of the pitcher, right?
Drew a walk on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that at times you hear it all the time. Madden with the Cubs. He's famous for doing different things to just kind of lighten things up and have fun with it. We're halfway through the season right now, and these guys are trying to find ways just to have a good time. And if it's Bauer going up there and doing that, I have no problem with it, because I doubt that Francona had expectations that he was going to hit one in the gap anyway. So why not have fun with it? I mean, if you talk to Lloyd, he would rather his guys not swing the bat at all.
Yeah.
Just because they don't do it, and he doesn't want them to get hurt. So I'm sure that Francona probably was enjoying it just as much as everybody else. And I thought it was great, and I think it's great for the team, and it was lighthearted, and I had no problem with it. And, I mean, you've been around me enough. I think there's a certain way to play this game, but there are moments, and I think that was a moment that you can appreciate the humor in it, and it was good.
You know, we talk about hitters changing up their stance or tweaking their stance a little bit. We hear about pitchers changing maybe the grip on a certain pitch, but are the adjustments that a pitcher would make in season equal to what a hitter would make at the plate as we're talking about tweaking a stance?
I don't think so. I think that there's so much more that goes on when you're trying to hit at this level. Then, I'll give you an example. Let's talk about Elias. I was talking to Rick Waits about him, and he was talking about his arm slot. Now, to get his arm in to repeat pitches, to be able to, so everything comes out of the same window that he's talking about. And Elias, of course, the lefties, he'll drop down from time to time. But when he's basic tip, this is what he's going to do. Well, they're not messing with his stride to the plate or his windup. Or guys will change their windups at times. You look at Taijuan Walker, it's abbreviated because it works for him. But hitting, there's so much that's going on with that. And any little thing that gets out of whack makes your job really difficult. And I think especially for younger players, and I would encourage them to continue to try different things. Maybe you find something and it unlocks a whole new world to you that you never knew. But I think it's more difficult for hitters to do that.
You talked about changing your stance up in the minors. Did you ever go so extreme to have a Gattis-like stance?
I never had that one. That is unique, and that is his, and he can have it, and it works well for him. He's one of my favorites to watch. You know that. I get a chuckle every time I see him. But he's done a lot of damage with that stance. I'm not sure many people can hit that way. But it's to his own. But I remember getting traded over to New York, sitting and watching Don Mattingly hit, being sent down shortly after that, and I was on that shuttle from Columbus to New York back and forth doing that thing. And I went down one of those trips. I went down and I tried to emulate everything Mattingly did.
Really,
right into the game, everything he did, just to see what it felt like and how it worked. And it actually worked out pretty well. Hit well over 300. So, and eventually, by the time I got to the big leagues, that was gone. And just keep working at it. But I thought the thing with Bauer was a lot of fun, and I thought about being a kid in my backyard and playing wiffle ball and doing that whole thing and just going out with all those stances. How many kids, I bet you every one of these young guys that are on the field right now today, all of them at some point in their backyard, they were all Ken Griffey Jr.
100%.
At some point.
Absolutely.
You know, and that makes it fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brad Miller was one, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was just unique to see it actually happen in a major league game on television. But, hey.
It worked.
Yeah, it worked. It was a lot of fun.
See you later!